Today's scripture is Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12."
Greetings. We welcome you today to Weston Park Baptist Church on this Palm Sunday. We begin Passion Week with this day of celebration and reflection on Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey that we know as a celebration and entrance of joy in Christ. So we want to consider what the story is about and then also reflect a little bit on what it means, God's kingdom, because that's the focus here. So review the story and a little bit more on understanding the phrase God's kingdom. So we start then with this text from Mark 11. I'll read just part of it. "And said to them, 'Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it.' Verse 7, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it." So it's just the first part, Mark 11. You can read verses 1 to 7 in your Bible if you have that. The story falls into three scenes, really, and we'll just review it quickly. The first is the colt, or the donkey. And the story is based on a prophetic text from Zechariah 9:9, which reads this way: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So obviously Jesus knew this text. He knows all of the scriptures, the prophets. He knows them really well. And he sees this as an opportunity to fulfill this text. So it's an enacted parable, if you like. Jesus mounts the donkey and he comes down the slope of the Mount of Olives, going through the valley and then up to the temple, this massive temple, beautiful temple. And so he does this, it noted, on a donkey, not a war stallion. And so it's depicting Christ as a humble Messiah riding on a donkey, not a war horse. And it's a gentle, humble entrance, as Zechariah wrote. And he does that because it's meant to counter the popular understanding of the day that the Messiah would come and he would drive out the invading Romans. It would be a political Messiah who would accomplish these things for the country in real time. So Jesus doesn't see or understand the Messiah that way, clearly. And so he wants to counter it, and he does so through this enacted parable of riding on a donkey and coming in. People see it, and then they have to perceive it and understand what is meant by that. How does this lie with the scriptures? So it begins the triumphal entry with the colt or the donkey. Then we read verses 8 to 10, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And so the second scene is the acclamation of the crowd. And there was a tradition of welcoming royalty with the parade. It was common within the Jewish culture, also with the Greek and Roman culture. So there's cheers, there's branches laid down, waving the branches, laying cloaks on the path, and Christ riding on the donkey over them. It's a joyful celebration. It's a festive moment. And people are happy. Everybody loves the parade, and the people are into it, and they're waving their palms and their branches and so on. And that's, of course, what we really think of when we think of Palm Sunday, waving our palms. If we were here today as a congregation, we would all have palms and we would be waving them. So it's the acclamation. And it's interesting that Christ hears the acclamation and accepts it, but he doesn't say anything about it. He is silent. He accepts the acclamation, but is silent. But let's just focus a little bit on those verses in 9 and 10. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The one who comes in the name of the Lord. We've been saying that God is a God who comes to us. He is always coming to us. He is always coming to you. That's the whole idea of the incarnation. God takes on flesh and comes to us, not just once, not just in the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but he continually comes to you and to me through his Holy Spirit. He comes to you today. He comes to you as you participate in this service, as you listen and reflect. You're thinking about it. God is a God who comes. So the one who comes in God's name, that is Christ, that's the Messiah, but he continually comes, continues to enter our hearts and our minds and travel with us. Very important to understand that. And then secondly, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. So it raises this idea of the kingdom of God. If we could draw back, if we could pull back from our planet Earth and see the entire universe and understand not just what we see, but what lies behind it, we would recognize the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is now. God's kingdom is real. It is not just something that we go through in heaven later. God's kingdom is now. It's there. The challenge is we don't see it in this visible way yet. We are on planet Earth with all the hassles and encumbrances that we experience, both externally and internally. And that keeps us from seeing and experiencing God's kingdom, but it is real. But nevertheless, Jesus in the crowd is saying, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. And that's true in one sense, is that the kingdom is continuing to be revealed here and now. As we understand the kingdom of God, we embody it, and then we bring that out to others. So it is, but yet in our world right now, it is being revealed. So it is now. It's not just when we go to heaven, but of course, when we go to heaven and understand to a greater degree, we will recognize the kingdom in a greater way. So the coming kingdom, it is here, but not quite yet seen. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. In the third part, Hosanna to God in heaven. Hosanna is God saves. God saves. We recognize God's salvation. All of that is wrapped up in the acclamation of the crowd, and Jesus hears it, and Jesus accepts it, but he says nothing about it. Silence. Thirdly, we see the temple. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So that's the third part of the story, the temple. So Jesus arrives. He comes up from the Mount of Olives, down in the valley. The Kidron Valley comes up, sees the the old city and then enters into it, this massive temple, into the outer courts, but it is late, so he just sees. He looks hard, we're told. It's a verb that Mark likes to use, parablepo, which is it's an emphasis. He looks hard, looks around, decides he won't do any more than that moment, and they go back up to Bethany, and they stay there the night. So the three parts of the story, the colt, the acclamation, the temple. We all know that well. We've heard that story a million times. So with that in mind, then what are some reflections on this idea of the kingdom? So the story speaks of a kingdom. We've highlighted that. So where is the kingdom? Well, in Mark's day, in Jesus' day, they were looking, as I said, for a political kingdom, for a kingdom to replace the Roman world and their oppression, that kind of thing. People were looking for a political kingdom like David and Solomon. That's what they really wanted. And it's interesting, in our own day, I think we still think in terms of externals, in terms of an external kingdom. So we want, you know, we associate it with our country, perhaps, or with our flag, or maybe with our constitution. God's will being seen in our world, in our country right now, that we are special, and it's God's revelation working out in our midst. So we want to see it in an external way. But Jesus is saying something different from that. And the surprise is that the kingdom is not external, but it is internal. And a very important verse we find in Luke 17:21. Here reading from the NIV. Jesus says, "Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." That's a big point. That we need to hear. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. It's within us. That's what Jesus is saying. That's where we need to begin. So I like the statement by Coretto, who writes this. It's Jesus speaking here. "And in order to come to me, you do not need to walk, because I am within you, at your center, in the most hidden place within you. That is heaven, my heaven and your heaven. That is the meeting place between you and me, internal, between you and the Father in the Spirit, who, as he makes unity of our Trinity, make unity with you." Father, Son, Spirit within us. That's the message of Christ in the Upper Room Discourse, John 13 through 17. The Father, the Son, the Spirit coming within us. And so to understand the kingdom of God that the people are talking about, we must look within. Not externally, but to look internally. And then it will start flowing out to the world around us. That's where Jesus says, the kingdom is within you. So it's not me saying that, that's what Jesus says. The challenge is we keep looking in. Keep looking out, right? We do it in the way of making idols. So I like this statement by Jeremiah. It's a lament by Jeremiah. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." Rob and I, over the years, have dove through the Caribbean in lots of places, and they have cisterns, one particularly on Ceiba, which is just a big volcano, really. And they get very little rain there. And all the houses have their own cisterns to gather whatever water that comes, man, they capture it. And so you either have a cistern that really works and holds it, or maybe there's a cistern that's cracked and starts leaking. Jeremiah says that we have made our own cisterns, but they are lacking, they are leaking, they cannot hold all the water. And what that means is we keep looking for other kingdoms in our own desires, in our own aspirations. The Bible calls it an idol. But really, it's looking for the kingdom outside. Maybe we look for it in terms of our, our career or our fame maybe, or money, or relationships, whatever, the kingdom is found in all those things. And Jeremiah says that that won't hold. It's not sufficient. It won't hold the water. So we look externally when we need to begin by looking internally, and that we have cisterns that are actually working, that are healthy, which are dynamic. So God's kingdom begins within us right here and now, and it's because God becomes incarnate in Jesus. And when we say that, it's not Jesus as an idea. It's not Jesus as a theory. It's not Jesus as an aspiration, but Jesus as a living reality. Father, Son, Spirit, in us now, a dynamic relationship. That is what we are to live out in faith and action, recognizing God within us in Christ through the Spirit. The Trinitarian presence within us, within you, within me. The kingdom of God within us. Well, we got to get down into it. It's like peeling an onion. We got to peel back the layers of the onion, the layers of ourselves that become hard and that just deflect the movement of God from us. We just need to get beyond that, go deeper. You've peeled an onion. You know what it looks like. To go within, to recognize God's presence within us, to hold on to that in this Palm Sunday, to recognize God in your life, my life, to hear His voice. And when we meet God in this way, we will know His touch. We will know the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, and joy. God within us. God, the amazing Creator over His creation, obviously, if He is within us, there's going to be a touch and presence of His joy. And so I like what Malachi says. He says this, "See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." The last prophet before John the Baptist, this is what he says. God will pour down His blessings. And then he says, "Then all the nations will count you happy, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." God does not want you to live a sad life. That's not God's aspiration. You know what I really want? I want Alan to live a sad life. God is not saying that. He wants you to know His presence, His joy, the fruit of the Spirit. Sure, we have hassles, but we have a hope that is a hope that sustains us and goes way beyond so that we finally do see the kingdom in its fullness and glory and keep going farther and deeper into that reality. And so as we come to a close, the invitation as we begin Passion Week on Palm Sunday is not to spend all of our energy and activity on the externals. Because the kingdom of God begins within us. So that means each day, every day, we need to carve out some time to go within, to reflect, to be quiet, to be listening. And we all do that in different ways. Some of you may pick up the scriptures and just sit with them for a while. Others, it's being out in creation. Others, it's listening to music. But some way of entering within and hearing God's voice. As a church community, really directed by Beth and Darlene and Cheryl, they've created a little devotional guide for us to work through Passion Week. So I hope you will go online and get that and just use those simple activities, because it's meant as an activity base, not so much cerebral, to guide through Passion Week. And so it begins today, Palm Sunday, so go and check it out. Don't spend all of your time on externals. Spend some time listening in the interior presence of God within us. Challenge is we spend all of our time in on externals. I don't know, what's your operation every morning? What do you do when you first get up? Oftentimes what we do is we go and check the news right away. First thing we do is kind of scour the news, what's going on today, what's happened. We begin our day with the world's news. In earlier generations in Canada, they would do that by buying the paper and checking out the paper right away. Read the paper, see what's going on. I remember my father, when he started working at the board, Toronto board, when he started that job, you know what? He said, "Alan, I've landed on the pig's back." That was an Irish phrase, landing on the pig's back, meaning things are good now, man. That job was so good for him compared to what he had before. Anyway, he would come home and he'd bring always the Toronto Star, and he always had it under his arm, and I would rush to the door, and hardly even greeting my dad, I'd grab the Toronto Star and take it back to the living room, put it out on the floor, and I'd go to the sports section and I'd go through the sports, looking at it lying on the carpet. I did that. That's what I wanted. I wanted to understand what was going on. That was my pattern. And you know, we often do the same way as adults. We want to grab the news, and that's what drives our understanding, or whatever it is. Well, now we don't do it with the newspaper, probably, but we can do it online. Same thing, really. The invitation is not to start our day that way. Psalms talk about getting up at dawn and giving praise to God. Maybe things would go better if we did something like that. Listen to God's voice, and then later check out the other stuff. This Passion Week, spending time with God, listening to His voice. Jesus as a living reality within us, not just a sentimental phrase. Jesus' presence in you and me. A dynamic relationship with God, which then flows out to those around us, to family, to neighbors, to this community in Weston. We start bringing the kingdom because we've entered into the kingdom within us. So it's a happy story. Father, Son, Spirit within. Chichester says, God is within us, and we must go inside ourselves to nourish the breath, capital, that sustains our spirits. To nourish the breath that sustains our spirits. Time each day. So this Palm Sunday, we celebrate, yes. We recognize that God has come to us in Christ. And we say our big yes and enter into joy and know His presence through this week and beyond, His interior presence. May that be your action this week. May it be mine, that we might know Jesus, Abba, the Spirit within us, His peace, His presence, His joy, in Jesus' name.